Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who was lifted up upon the cross, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, dear fellow redeemed. 2 weeks ago, we saw another one of those many symbols, pictures, and shadows of the coming Christ, the scapegoat, and all the events that took place surrounding the great day of atonement. The shedding of the blood of the bull, the shedding of the blood of the goat, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, foreshadowed the shedding of Christ's blood upon the cross. That scapegoat that was taken out into the wilderness after Aaron placed all the sins of the people upon its head and then was set free to go and never be seen again, a symbol of Christ taking our sins and casting them in the depths of the sea as far as east is from the west, so they're remembered no more. This morning we have another one of those symbols or pictures of Jesus on the cross, and that is the bronze serpent. What would you do if you were in the wilderness or the woods and you were bitten by a poisonous snake? Well, the first thing you'd probably do is run to the hospital. What if you were far away from a doctor, far away from the hospital? Well, you'd probably cut the wound, bleed it out, maybe suck out the poison, wash it clean, and then try and get as quickly as you can some antibiotics. Well, as we heard this morning, our scripture gives us one of the most ridiculous, humanly foolish ways to heal a poisonous snake bite. We've been traveling through the Old Testament for several months now, and as we've been doing that, we've been hearing and learning Old Testament history. But over and over and over again, we see that it is his story. It's God's story. God's story of the coming Christ, of his Savior. All the Old Testament points to Jesus. It's not just a bunch of historical lessons and stories that are interesting but don't apply anymore to us. It's filled with types and pictures and shadows and prophecies concerning our Savior, Jesus. The children of Israel had now come to the end of their 40 years of journeying in the wilderness. They now came to the land of Edom, which is just south of the land of Canaan. They're about ready to go into the promised land. So Moses goes and he asks the king of Edom, "Please let us go and pass through your land." We read in Numbers 20. "Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory." Then Edom said to him, "You shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword." So the children of Israel said to him, "We will go by the highway, and if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more." Then he said, "You shall not pass through." So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus, Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. With heavy hearts and with sagging spirits, they went back into the hot, dry desert, into the desolate place called the Gulf of Aqaba. And I'll give you one guess what they did. They again began to complain against Moses and against God. We heard a similar thing about a month ago when the children of Israel first entered the wilderness 40 years earlier. After they had seen the miraculous parting of the Red Sea, after they had been set free from all those years of slavery, after they saw Pharaoh's mighty army drowned in the Red Sea, experienced all those things, you'd think that they would have been confident, and yet, what did they do? They complained. Our main thought back then was this: the nature of people is to complain and doubt, to test God. The nature of God is miraculous grace, to love mankind. Well, here, both in our first Old Testament scripture reading and in this sermon text today, we see history repeating itself 40 years later. And the amazing thing is, this is a whole different people. This isn't the same people that complained 40 years ago. Most of those were dead now. This is the end of the 40 years. Those people who are 20 years and older had most of them died off by now. This people were those who were under 20 years, now between 40 and 60, and the others who were born during that time as they were wandering. They never lived in Egypt, many of them. They didn't know anything about the slavery. That's all history to them. And now they come to the edge of the land, and they can't get in through Edom, and they do the same thing their parents and grandparents did. The very same thing. History repeats itself. Instead of being thankful for all of God's undeserved blessings, they complained about that miraculous manna, and they called it starvation rations. Instead of saying, okay, so we can't go through Edom, we'll go around, they complained. They forgot that all they had to do was turn to the Lord and ask him, and he'd give them whatever they needed as he had in the past. They forgot that what they were doing was similar into the ingratitude and the unfaithfulness of their fathers and grandfathers, who then were punished by never going into the promised land and dying in the wilderness. They also forgot that many of them, those under 20, were still wearing the same clothes and same sandals that they came into the land of the wilderness land, because God said their sandals and their shoes never wore out. Their ingratitude was a serious fall into unbelief. What an awesome lesson the Lord lays upon his ungrateful children. He reached out and he took drastic steps to call them back to repentance, to renewal of their faith, and to look to his promises alone. Suddenly, poisonous snakes fill the camp. The Bible calls them fiery snakes. And we don't know if it's because they had red stripes on their skin, or whether it's because they had fiery pain when the people were bitten. But God's a perfect father. He knows exactly how much just punishment, how much discipline to give to his children to turn them away from their strain and bring them back to him. As the people saw people falling dead left and right when they were bitten by the snakes, they repented. They turned to the Lord. And they asked Moses to please take away the fiery serpents. The Lord commands Moses to build a bronze serpent, exact replica of those fiery snakes, place it up on a pole, and he says, if you look to that pole and that fiery serpent, that bronze serpent, you will be cured. What? What kind of kooky scheme has Moses come up with this time? That could have been the response to those who didn't believe in what he said.
How's that going to save us? What good is that going to do? What can that bronze serpent do for us? Nothing.
And that's true. That bronze serpent couldn't do a thing. But God could. God said, look and you'll live. Believe in my promises and you'll be cured. Without that promise, the word of God, putting up that bronze serpent would have been foolish idolatry. But God was testing them to see, will you believe me now? Will you put my word to the test? Faith is trusting what God says to you, believing what God does for us. It's indeed a matter of life and death. Faith in God's promise, looking at the bronze snake, means you live. In the scripture reading from John, we see that that history lesson was done for more than just one reason. It wasn't done just for the Israelites to know that they shouldn't have rebelled against God, and God was angry with them and punished them because of their rebellion, and also showed them God's mercy and grace by giving them the bronze serpent. But that lesson is also for us and for everyone from that time on who heard this lesson or read this lesson, that they would see their own sinfulness and God's salvation through Jesus. First of all, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that the Israelites tested Christ in the wilderness and they were destroyed by serpents. So also, every one of us has tested God through our sins and our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And because of our sins, we too have been bitten, not by fiery serpents, but by Satan himself, and we deserve death and damnation. And if you doubt that, listen to these words. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Thank God he has given us a bronze serpent on a pole. Jesus Christ on the cross. In that second reading, Jesus himself says, I'm the fulfillment. That's the shadow. I'm the fulfillment of that bronze serpent that was raised on the pole because I'll be lifted up on the cross. And so we see the comparisons. First, we see that the people could not save themselves from this snake bite. Try what they may. There was no man-made remedy. No matter what they tried, if they didn't look at that bronze serpent and believe God's promise, they would die. So there's no man-made remedy to save us from sin. No matter what man thinks he can do, he can't. Oh, I'll try and be better. I'll pray and pray and pray and pray. I'll go to church. I'll give offerings. I'll be as loving as I can. I'll do this. I'll do that. No matter what you do, you're going to die and go to hell without Jesus. God provided the cure. Look at that bronze snake and believe my promises, and you'll be cured from that snake bite. Look at Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you should be saved. Secondly, you see that Moses made only one bronze serpent. He didn't make 12 for each of the tribes of Israel. He didn't make many of them, so there are many different serpents to look to. There was only one. Even as there's only one Savior in this world. The world says there's countless different ways of being saved, countless different people to look to, countless different Saviors in this world, but there's only one. Peter says, nor is there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. Thirdly, we see that this bronze snake looked just like the other fiery snakes, exact replica, except it had no poison in it, and it wasn't alive. So Jesus Christ left heaven and came into this world and became just like us, a human being, just like us, with all the same qualities, abilities that we have, yet without sin. And his death paid for our sins. Paul says of Jesus, "For God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And fourthly, as the bronze serpent was lifted up on a pole for all to see, so was Christ lifted up on the cross for all the world to behold. Paul tells us, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." And finally, all those who believed in God's promise and looked to that bronze snake lived. Those who did not believe in God's promise died. So also those who believe in Jesus Christ will live forever in everlasting life. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and look to his cross for forgiveness and life and salvation will be damned. Jesus clearly says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Israel's deliverance was miraculous, beyond man's imagination. Who would ever come up with, "Okay, I've just been bitten by a poisonous snake. Now I've got to build a snake that looks just like this poisonous snake and look at that and then I'll be saved." Never would he have come up with that idea. God came up with that idea and says, "Trust me, trust my word, and you'll be saved." So also, we who have been bitten by sin could never come up with that idea, that God would love us sinners so very much that he would say, "I will send my son to be just like you in all points, tempted just like you were, but yet perfect, and then I'm going to condemn and damn him for you." Paul says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." We could never imagine that. But it's found in his word. The only remedy for the snake bite was within sight. Of all the people looking, even of those who died, it was there. It wasn't because they didn't know or didn't see the snake. It was because they didn't believe in it. So also with Jesus. Jesus and his cross, in the midst of salvation, is everywhere. Most every church has a cross on it, or in it. The word of God is found everywhere. It's not as if the people are going to hell because they haven't seen Jesus, or they can't see Jesus. It's because they don't believe in Jesus. It's not because of the lack of seeing Jesus, lack of believing in Christ for many people. There's, however, one big difference between this bronze serpent and Jesus. As we said, the snake had no power in itself. It was a created thing made out of brass. Jesus has power in himself to save people. John says, "He himself is the propitiation." It's a big word. It means the atoning sacrifice. It's the sacrifice that paid for the sins of the people. Jesus sacrificed by giving his shed blood, his pure and precious holy blood, paid for the sins of all people. "For our sins, and not for ours only," John says, "but also for the sins of the whole world." And again, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What a ridiculous, unreasonable way to be saved. Looking at a bronze snake. Yeah, got to do it yourself. Try that, and you'll die. What a ridiculous, unreasonable way to be saved from sin. Looking at Jesus, who died 2,000 years ago. Now you got to do it yourself. Live that way, and you'll have eternal death. May this awesome message from the past impress upon every single one of us the salvation that Jesus Christ alone brings to us. For Christ on the cross is the only cross to life. Let us pray. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me, though it glows with peace and joy. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.